Good afternoon. Thank you all for joining us. Calling to order the public meeting of the Governing Board of the Cochise County Community College District. If you would please rise and join us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Mrs. String?
I mean, pledge to our flag.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And that brings us to 1.03, the adoption of the agenda. Dr. Perry, does the agenda stand as published?
Yes, Mr. Chair, members of the board, pursuant to Arizona Revised Statute 38-431.02, the agenda has been properly advertised and can be adopted with no further modification. The board may take action.
Any motion to approve?
So moved.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. 1.04, citizens in-person interim. Ms. Wheeler, do we have anybody signed up for?
I've had no requests to address the board today.
Very well. Moving right along to standing reports. 1.05.1, Representative Arizona Association of Community College Trustees, Mrs. String.
Thank you, Chair Don. I participated in the first Zoom meeting in January with the AACCT 10 trustees that represent the 10 community college districts in Arizona. Eight of us were there, so that was good news. We re-elected the same slate we've had for the last 7 years. That went very quickly. And then there was tons of talk about the activities coming up this coming year to include our new advocate, Mr. Nick Ponder from High Ground, gave us a fast overview of how the sessions are looking for this coming year. Should be pretty easy since there seems to be no money. So it'll go fast, painful, but fast. That we then talked about dates coming up. The 19th of February, I with Dr. Perry and anybody else will be going up to the All Arizona Scholastic Awards Luncheon. This is one of my favorite things to do, as JD would say, for all the pay that we get for going to places. Statewide Scholastic Awards, Cochise College always brings a ton of students. It's just great to watch these kids go across the stage. Then April 23-24, AACCT will have a state-level conference, of course, up in Phoenix. That's when all 52 Arizona Community College trustees are invited. Many never attend, but it's a good statewide conference to go to. You pick up a lot. And then the August, just the ACCT reps, there's only 10 of us, will meet probably again in August in Flagstaff Crystal is what they're saying. And that's all there was. That's my report, Chair.
Hey, Jane, are they going to try and do a strat plan? Because a couple of years ago, they thought we'll do a strat plan. Everybody's going to, and Marie Sullivan was going to. Are they still going down that path? No?
No.
Okay.
They could, but they're not. Okay. The good news, that's because, you know, both Maricopa and Northern Pioneer, they passed their expenditure limitations campaigns. Those two EL campaigns passed. So.
Very good. Thank you, ma'am. 1.05.2 was a Senate report. We had a Senate report in our packet. Did anybody have any questions on that? Moving along, 1.05.3 was a Student Government Association's report. I always enjoy those a great deal. That was in your packet. Anybody have any questions? 1.05.4, the College President's report.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. So today marks week five of the spring semester. Just a special thanks to all of our employees for their work this semester in support of our students. The work done by Cochise College is truly amazing. So thank you. Legislative update. The community colleges met with Governor Hobbs on January 22nd. It was an opportunity to reiterate the HC4 priorities. You actually have those in front of you. Should be this document right here. Really, it was about protecting funding, supporting dual enrollment, reinstating adult education funding, developing a statewide community college promise program, and creating a mechanism to develop more apprenticeships opportunities for students. As you're aware, both the governor's budget and JLBC's budget is out. So here shortly, internally as an institution, we'll start developing a budget and of course, include the board in that. As you are aware, the legislature is in session. I'd like to highlight a few bills that AC4 is tracking that directly affect or may have an effect on community colleges. The first one is Senate Bill 1020, Disruption Educational Institution. This is the concealed carry weapons bill, which has come up multiple years. So we're tracking that right now. That was introduced by Rogers. Senate Bill 1036, Public Resources, Influence in Elections and Penalties. Currently, the Attorney General or the County Attorney can file an action in Superior Court against a public entity if either of those parties has evidence to suggest that a public entity use public resources to influence an election. What this bill does is it opens it up for anybody to make that claim, which could tie up community colleges in litigation forever. SB 1067, Community College District Tax Rates. This was dropped by Fincham. He's up in Yavapai County right now. It says that if a property tax levy is determined to increase the property tax rate by more than 0.1%, the community college district must place the item on the ballot and send it to the voters for approval. So we're tracking that right now. Additional ones include SB 1243, which is open meetings call to public, requiring the public body to allow open call at the beginning rather than the end of meetings. Really doesn't affect us if they were to change that. Let's see, SB 1694, higher education withholding state monies. This was dropped by Farnsworth, instructs the treasurer to withhold state funds from any institution of higher education if that entity has any programs teaching on diversity, equity, and inclusion. So again, we don't have necessarily any programs that are specifically related to that, but we do want to be aware of what's happening at the state level, especially pertaining to what's happening at the federal level. House Bill 2454, Appropriations. This is for police training. This was submitted by Marshall up in Coconino County. Appropriates $2 million each to Cochise, Coconino, Northland Pioneer, Yavapai, and Western Community Colleges for law enforcement training programs. And in fact, myself and Sheriff Daniels will be heading to the Capitol on the 17th of February in hopes of testifying, of course, in favor of this bill. Last one, dual enrollment. AC4 and the community colleges are looking for appropriations or a resolution that would reinstate dual enrollment monies for community colleges to recoup those monies as we work with the high schools for that pathway. All right, moving on to facilities update. At the downtown campus, Douglas campus, we've got a campus LED lighting retrofit. So we're really replacing interior fluorescent lamps, exterior walls, parking lot lighting. Actually, I think that's completed. That has been completed recently. Facility is working on central plant modernization, which includes cooling tower replacement, which is in progress, condenser and chilled water piping system upgrades, which are in progress. It is estimated that will be completed the end of March. Sierra Vista campus, if you walk through the library area there in the commons area, we've got the Barista Cafe. The alcove is already built out for counter delivery and installation. The counters have been ordered, so we're waiting for them to be produced. So they're in the queue right now. We expect completion of that area to be March. Campus building services, the 2600 building. Interior build-out is still in progress. My understanding is that fire alarm system design and permitting have been approved. In talking with Director Jim Barrows, this project will be completed, I believe, the first week of May, somewhere around that time. Downtown campus, nursing flight police cruiser simulators. Interior space is built out and completed. We're ready for delivery and installation. We expect delivery at...
You know we're on the record.
We are on the record. We expect delivery on February 15th, followed by installation and startup week of the 17th of February. So we're continuing to keep our eyes on that. But the last we heard is it's slotted and we've got facilities ready to go. I believe that's a Saturday. We've got them ready to go to help unload that and get it in the building. So we're super excited about that. And then lastly, Benson Center, Wilcox Center. We've just recently updated the fire alarm systems, replaced fire alarm panel sensors, and consolidated third-party fire panel monitoring. Any questions on facilities? All right. Moving to some of the initiatives we've got in the works. Of course, at the last board meeting, the board approved the naming of the viticulture program as well as the curriculum. Myself and Dean Molina on January 25th attended the AZ Wine Festival at Heritage Park, which was primarily wineries out of the Wilcox region. We had the opportunity there to honor Anne Marie Stevens. Currently, we have signed documents from her and her conservators. We're just waiting on one more signature from our end, and we will have fully executed documents. Dental assisting. We also mentioned at the last board meeting that we have a class full of 12. Last week, Dean Hill invited myself and Dr. Brown to the advisory meeting. So we had a chance to meet with a couple of the local dentists, as well as students that have gone through the program, talking about the first cohort that went through in fall semester. By all indications, things are going well. There are a few things that we're going to tweak. The feedback was positive. They'll meet again in summer after we've had two cohorts go through to take a look at the program again. And of course, we've had conversations about that they would like us to look continue to look heavy at dental hygiene. First Responders Academy, we're currently holding at 13 cadets right now. We have 5 from Sierra Vista Police Department. We have 4 from the County Sheriff's Department, 2 from Santa Cruz City, 2 from Graham City, and 1 from Safford PD.
Say 13?
13 total. The Sierra Vista Police Department utilized the FTC facility on January 29th for their quarterly firearms training. There were 59 officers total and command staff who shot that day to requalify. So that was kind of the first of hopefully many that we have with the agencies going through to utilize that that facility. So a huge shout goes out to Dr. Brooks and what he's doing to coordinate that. I will mention that the Criminal Investigation Division, CID, of the Army is also gathering their documentation and funds also to come into agreement or to have an agreement with us to utilize that facility. I will also mention before we move out of kind of the FTC and the early responder stuff, Officer Daryl Scott will be retiring this month. For those of you who've had the pleasure of meeting and knowing him, I'd like to just publicly thank him for his service both to the college, of course, the Law Enforcement Academy, and also his many years on Sierra Vista PD. We will miss him. But I know that the Sierra Vista has a replacement. I'm not exactly sure who that is yet, but we'll make sure that he gets introduced to the college. Paramedicine completed its accreditation site visit a couple of weeks ago. Although we've got a few areas to improve, by all indications, it was a successful visit. So Dean Hill will be working with her team. We have until June 1st to send them some updates and documentations on some of the corrections that they'd like to see. Also today, we had our CNA reaccreditation site visit. Dean Hill has indicated that it went very well, and the site visitor is recommending reaccreditation. Thank you to Melissa Ashline and her team for all their work. And I know if you've been listening to what's happening over at least the last year, Dean Hill is on a roll with accreditation. And we're hoping that within the next year, all of those programs within her area and actually within the institution will have gone through the accreditations. So just some general comments, community engagements. On January 21st, we had the Sierra Vista Welcome Back Breakfast here on campus. January 21st, we met with Hensel Phelps. That's the group that got the contract for the new port of entry. January 29th through 31st, myself, Dr. Davis, and Dr. Rotweiler attended the Cochise Combined Trust renewal meeting. February 3rd, myself and President Rotweiler attended court in Bisbee for a victim statement pertaining to an incident that we had here that affected our campus. February 14th, I believe this is JD, gave a live stream with Cool FM interview. If you hadn't seen that, it's really a great production. You ought to take a look at that. February 13th, of course, today we've got a board meeting. And then February 11th through 14th, Dr. Rotweiler will be on annual leave. Some of the upcoming activities, February 14th, although I'd like to say that it was because I was taking my wife somewhere special, I will be on an annual leave because we've got family coming down. Dr. Davis will be in charge while I'm out. February 17th, President's Day, so the college is closed. February 18th through 19th, I will be attending the AC4 President's Meeting in Phoenix. February 19th, Board Member Jane Strain will be joining me and our award recipients for the All Academic AZ celebration there. February 12th, we have a board budget work session. I'm sorry, on the 20th. February 20th here in this room starting at 10 a.m. February 21st, we've got a retirement celebration for JD 330 in the Sierra Vista Community Room. February 26th, collaborating for Rural AZ alumni legislators. So I'll be heading up to Phoenix to a Project Central presentation where we're going to have, I think it's Senator Gowan as well as a couple of other representatives from Cochise County are going to be up there. It's a chance for me to get to speak with them one-on-one, learn a little bit more about what their platforms are and how we can support each other. February 27th, retirement celebration at 9 a.m. Douglas campus for President Rotweiler. February 27th, Black History Celebration Dinner, 6 p.m. Sierra Vista Campus Community Room. I think if any of the board members want to be included on that, please let Crystal know. March 1st, we've got the Youth Arts Festival here on the Sierra Vista campus starting at 10 a.m. March 4th, we've got AI for Educators. So as part of a grant that Faculty Affairs, Wendy Ashby and Dr. Brown submitted, we have a national renowned author on AI coming, Dr. Anthony Bowen, for 9 a.m. on the Sierra Vista campus in the community room. Crystal sent an email out. We want to just make sure that if you're interested, they'll be talking about the future of AI, specifically in regards to education. It might be an opportunity to learn more about what's happening on the national front. And this really kicks off some of the training that we have internally for the college here. March 5th, College Budget Managers Retreat. March 6th, meeting again, a follow-up meeting with Hensel Phelps. March 7th, we've got the Computer Challenge here on the Sierra Vista campus. March 11th, Good Morning Sierra Vista here, 7 a.m. Turns out that I'm going to be the keynote address for that. And then March 11th, board meeting, 6 p.m. Sierra Vista campus here. And I'll entertain any questions from the board.
Dr. Perry, could we revisit SB 1067?
Yes, we can.
I'm sure we all believe that there's no legs to that, right?
So so AC4 is opposed legislatively to this bill. We suspect that it won't have much traction. And if it eventually gets to the governor's office, it would be vetoed anyway.
Couple things. One, Hensel Phelps, we're still talking to them about interns, right? I mean, that's not dropped off the plate, and we're still talking about them. Okay, that's great. In your follow-up meeting, that'd be great. Second thing, surgical tech program, where is that?
So currently we are...
They were pointing to each other, but go ahead.
Were they? So currently we're rerunning the data on surgical tech to see if there's actually a need and what that looks like. There's a demand. We want to make sure that if we are going to launch a program that we've got some sustained enrollment through that. We suspect, though, however, in the preliminary data on that, that it could be if we ran it a couple of semesters, we would satisfy the need within the county.
I thought one of the issues was we couldn't find someone certified to be the instructor. Was that one of the issues as well? Okay, is that still an issue?
Yes and no. Eastern Arizona College is launching a program in the fall, and they are interested in partnering with us.
Okay, so that's an option.
Yeah.
Okay, finally, the punch list for Bugin Hall. Are we happy with the contractors on Bugin Hall? Did they work through the punch list, or are they still working through the punch list?
We are working through.
We continue to do that. There are still some issues
that
we're working through. Yes.
Okay, but Eric, that didn't stop you from doing your classes, et cetera.
We had 7 of 20 lanes that were punctured that day.
Really? Okay, so it did impact.
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you.
That's all I have.
Any questions? Thank you, Dr. Perry. 1.05.5 was a monthly financial report for January 2025. The report was in our packet. Were there any questions? Moving on to 1.05.6, the monthly academic progress report. That report was also in our packet. Were there any questions on that one?
No, I just really appreciate this report and the way it's set up. So whoever pulled it together.
I do too. It's awesome. Moving on to new business. I don't think your retirement age, Dr. Brooks.
I'm going to pull that out so we can talk to it.
Sorry. Yeah,
go ahead. I'm doing an apology here to Chair Don. I should have done this when we were gabbing. Chair Don, I request that we pull out for much more in-depth discussion consent agenda item 2.01.15, the retirement of this very young person.
Agree. Moving on with the consent agenda.
Yeah.
Minus 2.01.15, I need a motion to approve.
So move.
Move and second. Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Do we have an introduction?
I'm sorry. Do you want to discuss 2.01.15?
Want to pull that first? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wait till next meeting.
Yeah. Squat and hold, Wick. No.
Next one.
Jane.
Okay.
So I apologize. I had heard this as what I considered unreliable rumors, but I just realized it was on this agenda. So, Dr. Eric, this is good news and certainly bittersweet. You have been just instrumental in the accomplishments in Cochise College and in all the things that you've done. It's shocking that you're retiring, but thank you for your years of service. We appreciate everything you've done for the college, the students, the community, the reputation you maintain in these programs that you've led and managed. So thank you.
Yeah, I'll echo those two. I guess my question is, who's whipping the sled dogs on getting the punch list done if you're not over there?
Good question. I'm trying to get it done before I leave.
Okay, so we could go ahead and put that in the retirement because you've pushed that forward. Listen, hey, I really appreciate all that you've done over there. I mean, you can walk away, retire, look back every time you drive by and say, you know, your DNA is all over that building, your fingerprint. So congratulations to that and the academy. So good for you. Thank you so much. Enjoy retirement. Don't look back.
I'd like to thank you also. You've done a great job over there. Thank you.
Congratulations. You ready for this next chapter?
Well, if you get bored, you can come back.
Okay. They're going to tell you that you won't miss the circus, but you'll miss the clowns. Okay, I'll just tell you.
That's a pretty good gig, so I wish you all the best in your retirement. You've done an amazing job here with Cochise College, and I thank you for all your efforts. There's a lot of young officers out there that thank you as well. So I guess we need to approve that one. Okay, need a motion to approve 2.01.15.
So I'll move.
Okay. And then second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Now we have introductions.
Good afternoon, members of the governing board. We're pleased to introduce four of Cochise's finest. Are you all in the camera? You can all be seen. First, I would introduce Dawn Chowchi. She's our LMS technician, and she has a master's degree in library science and information resources. This is Dawn, in case you were wondering. And in information resources from the University of Arizona, and then also a master's, very interesting, a master's in modern Middle East history from Hebrew University of Jerusalem. And she plans to provide good customer service for students and faculty who use Moodle and its related resources. She has 10 years of military experience, 10 years previous teaching experience. She used to work here at Cochise College. And she's a fan of public libraries, state national parks, and lifelong learning. Our learning management system technician, Dawn Chowchi. Next is Sierra Lawless. Sierra's on the end, okay. She's our Bugin Hall director, and she started in January of this year. She has an associate's in communications at Monroe Community College, and in May of 2024, she obtained her bachelor's degree from Southern New Hampshire University. She looks at this opportunity at Cochise with new eyes because she's moved from the East Coast to Arizona, and we're glad to have her here. And she says, this is a big transition in my life, just as college is a big transition in our students' lives, and it takes a community with an open, growing, and supportive mindset to reach success. So we welcome our Bugin Hall director, Sierra Lawless. And next is Evan Cedar. He's our instructor of geology, and he started also in January of this year. He has a master's of geosciences from the University of Texas at Dallas. He enjoys working very hard and sharing his love of geology, especially in our area. We are lucky to have so much natural history, he says. I like to hike and read, and lately I've enjoyed exploring the area. He lives in Bisbee, and he enjoys crossing the border and traveling to Mexico. He's our instructor of geology, Evan Cedar. And we also have Tammy with us. There you are. Tammy Heredia, our instructor of nursing. She joined us in January of this year, and she has a master's of nursing from the University of Phoenix. And she is always putting students first. She's been happily married for 35 years, and her husband also works for Cochise College. So we're glad to have her join us as well. He works in the business department. She works in our nursing department, our instructor of nursing, Tammy Heredia. Thank you very much.
Thank you
all. Welcome all. Brings us 3.01, communications, Dr. Perry.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the board. So we received, Dr. Rottweiler received an email from Olivia Beamer, a compliance officer, City of Benson, thanking Cullen Scarborough, the Dean of Adult Education and Military Programs, for putting together the ADEQ Math Boot Camp class. We had been in talks with this for quite a while. And I know when Dean Scarborough took over, he kind of took the bull by the horns and made it happen, which has really kind of blossomed into some other opportunities working with the city of Benson. And again, this kind of just speaks to what can happen when we really start to work with the municipalities on what their needs are and what we can do.
So in that letter, they ask us to, they wish we had the ability to proctor the, is that something we want to move toward, or is that? Yes.
So currently, Dean Scarborough has reached out. Gateway Community College has the RFP to offer the ADEQ testing. It turns out, Cullen, that we're going to be able to do it in Wilcox.
I wasn't calling anybody.
Yeah, so right now what it is that we're working with the Gateway and the National ADEQ Examiner. So if we do that, we'll go into Wilcox first because we have so many, and we work very closely with Jen, is that we have computers available. In 2 weeks, we'll find out whether or not they will let us do it or not.
They come at a cost?
No cost to us. No cost to us, but we're not paying them either for anything. So it's a free service for our community.
Awesome. And I just want to make note. So the initial email and conversation that took place was, well, they can go test in Tucson. Right. That's not good enough, right? So Dean Scarborough reached out. So we're working right now to say, look, that's fine, but you need to start supporting the rural communities. So even if we've got it once or twice a year, we should be able to have it in Cochise County.
So we would be pull that proctor to Cochise County. Okay, at their cost.
At their cost, and they're charging the students to pay the test.
Okay, I got it. Great, thanks.
How much does the students pay?
It's about $50.
So it's not cost prohibited for the students. In other words, we. Okay, all right, thanks.
So we'd provide facilities. That's all we're providing. Okay,
correct. Any other questions? Okay. Also, Dr. Rottweiler received a letter from Lynn Tincture Ladner, President and CEO of Phi Theta Kappa Honor Society, honoring Angela Bustamante for dedicating 10 years of service as an advisor to Alpha Beta Zeta chapter. Ms. Bustamante also received a 10-year service pin. She wasn't able to be here today, but here's her 10-year pin. And so congratulations, Angie. We appreciate all of your work. That's all I have.
Very good. Brings us to 3.02, Administrative Services Report. Dr. Davis.
So I understand we have until 5, so I'll see what I can do.
That's a goal.
Well, I'll start off with the administrative services report, and then I'll move into the investment report. So the administrative services area oversees, of course, the risk management and operations of the institution, in addition to the athletic department this year. So the policy I put in your board packet is policy 406, which really talks about the insurance that we carry and a variety of other things the president's responsible for ensuring the college does related to asset protection. The college does carry liability insurance through the Arizona Risk Consortium, which basically involves most of the community colleges as well as the K-12 districts throughout the state. There are a total of 248 members covering about $34 billion in insured value and over 800,000 students between K-12 and the community colleges. So it's a pretty large consortium and pool of insurance. The insurance itself covers liability insurance for the institution, general liability, as well as automotive, both liability and physical damage, professional liability for employees, board members, and cyber liability coverages. So we have a variety of coverages through the trust that we insurer. We also carry independent coverage for our aviation program. It's a high-risk program, so we have an independent policy for our flight program as well as the airport itself. We do carry coverage for the airport. In addition, we carry a catastrophic athlete insurance policy, which helps in the event of a significant injury to a student athlete that their personal health insurance doesn't cover, then we have the wraparound coverage that helps them through a major hospital visit or something like that. So,
is that just they have to be actually doing a college function, or if it's something on their own personal time?
No, the athlete catastrophic insurance is related to practice or competition. So, if it were just hanging around campus doing something, it would not cover that. So this is just kind of an overview of administrative services. Again, we have facilities, risk management, shipping and receiving, finance, procurement and auxiliary services, payroll, employee benefits, HR, the audit process, technology services, and athletics. These are the individuals that oversee all of those areas. Basically, administrative services in addition to athletics and our student accounts or bursar office are really the behind the scenes folks that keeps the foundation of the institution moving for our academic services and our student services areas. So I'm very proud of all of the work that our administrative services team does. We focus on customer service, meeting the needs of the institution, hopefully being as proactive as possible. Certainly we have instances, new construction, for instance, where we're doing some reactive stuff following opening of new buildings that we have some concerns with. But I can guarantee you we won't be paying any final bills till the punch list is done. So I'm sure they hope that's done before Dr. Brooks retires.
Hostage, yeah, it's always good.
But they're working diligently with subcontractors on getting those issues addressed. So.
And Wendy, they're still on site, obviously.
They are.
Okay, yes, great.
Absolutely. I'm happy to address any specific questions related to administrative services. That's kind of an overview. If you have questions about our coverages, any of those kind of things, I'm happy to address those as well.
Hearing none. Moving on to 3.03.
All right. So our annual investment report, I did share a couple of slides with you regarding our annual investments. The majority of our investments all of our investments are in some type of a treasury bond note. So very secure investments. The majority are within a year of maturity. The market's still supporting us being in that short of a term with the high returns that we're receiving on those bonds. And we'll explore some more diversification and extending some of those as these bonds mature over the next 12 months. The majority, if you look at the, again, I put the policy itself in your board packet. If you have questions about the policy, I'm happy to address those. But this basically talks about the responsibilities of the institution in investing its funds. I wanted to get to this slide. So as you can see over the course of the last few years, you can see a spike in 2019. That's when we had invested funds related to the automotive technology building project, mm-hmm. where we received a special allocation for that building, which was completed in 2020. Over the course of the last couple of years, our allocations for the firearms training complex, as well as funds that came in for Bugin Hall and rural aid that we diverted to the construction of the three first responders academy phases, were in the invested over the course of the last two or three years. And then I've only pulled 7,000 or so, 7 million or so out of our investments. Our cash flow has been good enough to sustain our investments at that level. And we've had, quite frankly, really good returns, higher, much higher than what we've budgeted for. So that's helping to keep our investment portfolio at the high level that it is. As I did mention, we do have two buildings just finished. We still have a few final payments to be made, but I can assure you that both of those projects will come in under budget. So happy to report.
That's good news.
It is great news. And questions on the investment report? Sorry, I couldn't take up more of your time.
We have some bond indebtedness, or how are we coming on paying that off? How many years left?
We do. Actually, our bonds are callable July 1 of this year. Oh, so okay. We have some discussions during the board work session. We'll talk a little bit about that. We have opportunities to pay off some or all of those bonds, or quite frankly, they're invested at such a low rate that we may want to just retain the opportunity dollars that we have for other purposes at this time. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Look forward to that discussion.
Absolutely. Other questions? All right.
Thank you, Dr. Davis. Well, that brings us to comments from the governing board members. Stephanie? David?
I don't have anything except say, Eric, congratulations, and I hope you enjoy retirement. Or you get bored and come back to work, it'd be better, but that's all right. Thank you.
So I serve on an amazing committee out in the community. It's called the Military Community Affairs, part of SIRP, formerly known as the Chamber, currently called Sky Island Regional Partnership. We had that meeting this morning, so this is just fresh, top of mind, as they say. The representative here from Cochise College is Robin Martin. An amazing job working with a great lady named Amy, there you go, the USA lady on Fort Huachuca. These two brilliant community leaders have put together a working spouse conference, military spouses. Excellent concept, well thought out, well presented. Works right in with the Cochise Community College mission of employment and therefore education. Just a very smart thing to do and a very smart thing for Cochise College to have folks like Robin on that sort of community affairs committee. And all of that is because we also have Dr. Jen Watts, who does civic engagement. How wonderful is that? So that's my share.
Couple of thanks. Wick, thanks. I mean, I know we don't take it for granted, but finding great employees to bring them on board, we really appreciate it and how you do that. I also want to thank Andy and Abe and the Allied Health Club for their work with the hospital. That means a great deal to them. And if it means a great deal to the hospital, it means a great deal to me for obvious reasons. Okay. I wish everybody Galentine's Day or Valentine's Day, whichever you choose to celebrate. Could we get an update on FAFSA? Are the rules changing so that students now, it is less turbulence? Is it less delays? Is it, so not right now, because that would be a new subject, but maybe in a follow-on meeting. So I don't want to violate open meeting laws, et cetera.
Which next order comes out of Washington, D.C.?
I'm sure you'll do your best, Dave.
I will. Okay. We will have that ready for you.
If we can, that'd be great. Yeah. And then the other one is, I always like to hear a touchstone on the four-year programs, the 2 4-year programs, how are we doing on enrollment, et cetera. So if that, we could get that as well. Just so I can see, as we narrate that, hey, the four-year program, here we are, it's still going well. We see some movement in enrollment, et cetera, because this is the trial year for both of those. And if that could be on a follow-on or in your updates. Yeah, that'd be great. That's all I have. Thank you all very much.
Very well. I would only add again, congratulations, Dr. Brooks. Awesome. This meeting is adjourned.